This is the Big Lap Chats podcast, where our mission is to help caravanners and campers plan their ultimate lap of Australia. Whether you're dreaming of hitting the road or already travelling, we provide all the information and tools you'll need to bring your dream to life. Tune in as our expert host, Annette Jones, chats with Australia's big lappers, caravanners and campers, sharing hints and tips for creating the best memories while travelling around Australia. Be sure to check out Annette's website, All Around Oz, Australia's leading site for planning a lap of Australia. But now, settle in and hit play while you're on the road and listen as Annette delivers today's episode.
Welcome back to another episode of Big Lap Chats. And today I have Casey and Zane from Few Laps Around the Sun.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us. It's so exciting.
Great to have you here. So where are you calling in from today?
We're in a little roadside stop just in Port Hedland at the moment, right up the top end, about to push across to Broome. Yeah.
Exciting times. Actually, I've just read that they're hunting down a big croc there, in being a bit of a menace at the beaches, apparently. Sorry.
We'll stay clear of the water.
not that people swim up there anyway, hey?
No, that's it. You look at the water and go, yep, that's nice. that's about it.
A little bit croppy.
Yeah, just a little bit. So what's your story and how did you get started and why did you get started?
Yeah.
And when?
Well, it's coming up to this year in October. It'll be 3 years since we hit the road officially, which is flown by. I can't believe it's coming up to that three-year mark. I feel like we just left yesterday. Mm-hmm. Lots of change since then. We hit the road after some pretty crazy lockdowns in our home state. That was a big motivation for us to hit the road initially. But also we always had said to each other when we met about 10 years ago that we always wanted to travel Australia together. And it was just working out when the perfect time was going to be for us. And we hit the road just after those COVID lockdowns. We're like, yep, this is the time.
Time to do it.
We're sick of being at home. And yeah, we hit the road October 2022.
Yeah.
On a bit of a backstory as well, Zane's parents and grandparents and great grandparents traveled Australia. So he's like a third generation little traveler. Whereas for me, no one in my family had traveled Australia. So I'd always loved the outdoors and stuff, but we both were really eager to see some new things. And we've always loved camping and did that on our days off work.
Yep.
We wanted it to be to fully hit the road and go from there and see where it took us.
Yeah, experience what this beautiful country has to offer. There's so much variety around. So it's from where we are down in Victoria, it's polar opposites to up north here. So it's awesome to see the changing landscapes as you're driving through the different states and things like that. It's beautiful. It's a big motivator to experience it all. It really is.
And we both had come from working, like we always wanted to kick our career goals first and we work on the road as well, which is really fortunate because we can kind of, that's what I guess we've funded. Now we're 3 years down the track and we stop for work and keep going, and it's become a bit of a lifestyle for us, which has been really nice. We've got good work-life balance where we stop, we work, and then we hit the road for a few months and have a bit of a holiday, and then we do this, we just keep doing that.
Sounds perfect to me. Yeah. What sort of roles do you have? Are they the same roles that you're applying for on the road that you did at home?
So I'm a plumber by trade and Casey's a nurse. For us, it depends. Like,
it's been a mix, really.
We've done a bit of a mixed bag. I like experiencing new things, same as Casey. First sort of stints of work, I did do some plumbing, and then I've done other things like groundskeeping, and then at Ballara Station, we got to do, but that was a proper mixed bag. That was a variety of everything you could ever think of. There was, they had the bar there, you had campgrounds, you had
housekeeping,
you had maintenance. I was doing a bit of plumbing out there as well. Station work, it was, you name it, you could do it all out there. But yeah, I think we just enjoy doing a bit of a variety of things. It just gives you a taste of everything and a good experience in different roles, because like, as much as we both like our jobs and love our jobs, I feel like it's really cool to just get to know different people in different careers and experience different things.
Try something new. And I think it pushes you to out of your comfort zone. And like where we were working at home, we'd been in the same, for me, I'd been in the same area, which was intensive care for 6 years. So it was the same routine and everything was very regimented. But yeah, I think we've, by doing new roles, like it's just enhanced our skill sets to push ourselves out of a comfort zone and also meet new people. And you get to, I think for us, our favorite part of working on the road, obviously it's not all about work, but we do love when you do stop for a work stint, you get to really see that place fully and you've got time to explore all those little hidden gems and you speak to the locals a bit more and you get tips and it's...
Yeah, you get a little bit of an insider knowledge and on places, whereas if you're stopping through, you might not see these little spots that locals might go to and all that sort of jazz, which is cool.
Yeah,
so,
you do feel a bit a part of the community a bit more, I feel like, when you 100%. Stop somewhere for a little bit longer as well. Yeah.
It's really good socialising as well as working. So,
100%.
And I guess coming from intensive care nurse, that is pretty like full on, isn't it?
Yes, it was... Yes, it was 6 years. I loved it and I still would love, I still do some nursing on the road, but not in, it's more rural and remote areas. So there's not as many ICUs around in those areas. But I, absolutely loved my job. And it was hard to leave our jobs back at home because we had a passion for them. And but I always knew that there was always going to be another opportunity out there somewhere. And it's led me to do different areas of nursing as well, which are more emergency and more rural and remote, which I probably would never have done at home. So I'm really grateful for that. And it's shaped me to be, I think, a little bit of a better nurse because I'm doing different things and
more versatile.
Versatility, yes.
For sure.
We love a little work stints and then, then it's a holiday for 3 months and then it's 3 or 4 months.
Or 6, depends.
Yeah, it depends. We've staggered it out depending, but we've had a ball doing that.
Yeah, sounds great. And for those that don't know, what's your setup? What do you travel in and what do you tow? Yeah.
The van we've just, it's reasonably new. It's about, 5 months old, 6 months old. It's a Wonderland 18'6" Amaru dual axle high, it's not hybrid, it's basically a full off-road van. Yeah. And we're towing that with just a single cab Land Cruiser. Got a little boat on the roof as well, so we can get those sneaky fishing trips in and get away. And it's pretty cool. Like we've got the car set up as well so that we can take just the car away with the swag if need be. So that's got the fridge in the car and induction cooker and all that kit and caboodle. And then the van, perfect. It's fully off grid. So I don't think we've hooked into power. When we were working, obviously, if you can hook into power, it's perfect because you can just run that aircon 24/7. But off-grid, like we have no issues with power and stuff like that. Running like it's a nice EnerDrive setup that we've got in the van and the car. So plenty of solar on the roof and plenty of battery as well. So it keeps us going and keeps the coffee machine running every morning, which is really
important.
That's the main thing we're worried about.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
It's been amazing. Like we've had a few different setups over the years. And when we initially left, our setup, I feel like everyone's setup is constantly evolving. And it's not until you hit the road and you work out like what works and what doesn't work for you as a traveler based on what you're doing and where you're traveling and all of those things. So for us, I feel like now we've just honed in and found our ideal perfect setup to be really comfortable for living on the road now and working and making it a bit more of a full-time apartment on wheels, our home on wheels.
Literally, so just like this little apartment.
It's
perfect. And for the two of us, I think it's got enough space that we're not climbing over the top of each other and getting in each other's way. And I can lay on the bed and Case can sit on the couch and we can still have a bit of space, which is nice. So We love it.
And I think too, it's really important to get the perfect setup for you when you're traveling full time as well. You know, what your the way you live on the road and the way that affects your power.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. All those little bits and pieces that you work out. Yeah, you're using the coffee machine four times in the morning. Or if you're, I do, yeah. Or if you're charging your laptops and your cameras and stuff, like that's all going to factor in. Nighttime, if you run your fan overnight. I know the little Sirocco's, we run ours all night. And it's
pretty much 24-7.
Yeah, 24-7 they run. So just little things like that. Just knowing that you've got the capacity to run them without having to stress too much, and then also having that confidence. It's a real winner for us.
And I think when you're on the road, like you're very, everything is very weather dependent. And we, with our last setup, we absolutely loved our little, we had a little hybrid caravan, but the kitchen was outdoors. So that was a big thing for us for our new setup. We really wanted that. We love outdoor living, but we wanted the option of having an indoor cooking or indoor option as well. So when the weather is a bit, how you're going, you can come inside and cook. Where as before, we were in the elements sometimes in the rain or in the wind, and it was a bit troublesome sometimes. It's all those little things, and we've nailed, I think, what works for us.
What works for us. Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So what's one thing most lappers overlook that could make or break their entire journey?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh. It's one that I actually have had I've spoken to a few people, and it's weights of your caravan and your car.
Oh, that is a really good one. Yes.
As like this will literally determine whether or not you can basically be on the road or not. If you've got your GVMs and your GCMs and all that, if you overload your car and overload your caravan, you're not insured, things go wrong. I feel like little things like that.
It's true.
It's all those. It seems like maybe a bit of a menial thing, but having your weights correct and making sure your car's safe, legal, up to standard. Maintenance on it as well. Preventative maintenance is a big one. I know sometimes you can overlook things on the road and go, I'll deal with it at the next town, but it's the five P's. I won't say them all, but I think we all know them. And you're keeping up your regular maintenance, making sure that everything's in good nick. That's something that I feel can get overlooked and can make or break your whole trip.
You want to avoid those little hiccups if you can, and sometimes they're unavoidable, but if you can be one step ahead of them, then...
Yeah, sure.
But with the weights as well, with this new van, we actually, when we were at home, we got our setup weighed by a guy named Richard, lovely guy, and he brings out like the little portable weighing scales. And I think they're quite common like now in most states, but... He came to us and actually weighed each of the car and the caravan and gave us weights on even just things like the rear axles of the car, which can be really, that's more so where people go over. But one statistic he told us, which was quite like alarming, he said 80% of setups he weighed were over. I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah. And we loaded everything up as if we were heading away, got everything weighed and made sure before we left, if there was any changes or adjustments,
you could could be made.
But that was a real, I think we're big advocates on that now, because I think that's one thing I didn't really ever think of. And you hear of stories of things going wrong, and when they go wrong, they go really wrong. And so that's a big one. That's a good one, Zane. Think of that.
So I think that's one of the major ones. Being flexible is my other one that I would think of. If you're not, you've got to have a sense of flexibility, because things change. Everything's weather dependent, as we were saying. And you've got to be able to just on the fly go, all right, this was our plan.
Now you've got to change it.
And that, again, that can make and break as well.
And things as well, like with your... the expectations of a place. Sometimes you see something on Instagram or on YouTube, or like you see other travelers and you're like, oh, that's my bucket list place. And you get there and it's completely different to what you've seen. And places are going to be very different depending on the weather, depending on the season. we're really slow travelers. Like we have been in WA for 2.5 years of our 3 years of travel. Yeah. So we haven't actually seen, we haven't even done a big lap yet.
We'll call it the half lap.
Yeah, we're like, we are slowly moving, but I think the beauty of being a bit slower is we've been able to see a place a couple of times and in different seasons as well. Mm-hmm. So that's good because you do get that second chance. That's a good one too.
I think that's important. We're heading over to WA this year and we realise that we just can't do everything in one season. Like we're going to have to do a couple of seasons. So we've penciled in. Oh, this fly.
I could see it. I could see it flying around.
So we'll probably be there a couple of years, or we've penciled in a couple of years to explore.
Yes.
And it's easy to do.
And even with a couple of years, there's still so much that we haven't seen yet. It's huge, WA, and the whole of Australia is huge, but it's a big area to cover and to see. So, yes, it's very exciting.
Yes,
I agree. Both of us.
What's the three biggest money-saving hacks that every lapper needs to know before they hit the road?
Oh, I reckon one of them, I actually was thinking about this the other day, and the fuel, there's a fuel map app, and that allows you to look up fuel stops, like wherever you're heading, if you're doing a day of travel, and you can actually zoom in and see all the fuel stops along that journey and work out, okay, like where am I going to stop for the cheapest fuel? And usually it's updated pretty regularly. Good. So people will go there and say, okay, fuel or diesel is this much at the moment. So that's a good one. That's a good thing to just, keep in the back of the mind.
Yeah.
What was another one? I feel like shopping specials, like just when you go to the supermarket, like we love a bargain. We're bargain shoppers.
Proper bargain hunters.
So we won't we'll shop the bargains, and if there's something on sale, chuck it in the having a freeze is really handy. Popping your roasts or things that you find on special in the freezer for another time, even if you're not going to have them now. And I think, another one is fishing for your dinner. So we love catching our dinners, and that has saved us, I feel like, a lot of money on the road. We've gotten a little bit better at fishing over the years. We're still a bit hit and miss here and there. But when we do catch a fish, especially on the Ningaloo or a big crayfish, or we love mud crabs and things like that. And that's our dinner. So
there's a good, that's a good money. Oh, sorry, mate.
Oh, God. Call it a flight. No.
I don't know what that was.
But yeah, I find that's a really good way to save, because meat, food, and fuel are like your two biggest expenses, I find. So if you can save on either of those and shop the specials, try and fish if you can, then save a few bucks on meat.
Coupons.
Oh, all the coupons, vouchers, great. Whatever,
the 4 cent discounts, anything like that.
Yeah.
We love it. It's any dollar saved is a dollar gained.
And even if you're going out to if you want to go out for a night to the pub or whatever for a meal, a lot of the local pubs will have a Tuesday night
special. Where
you can and utilize them, and you get a free drink or whatever it is. Like that, they're always good. Zane's 100%. Parents had always said to us about those and coupons and all those things, like
I think that's probably, but you could probably keep going on and on about ways you can save money, but for us I think that's the way we will try and spend less and keep a little bit more in the pocket.
Even with cooking meals, we'll one chicken fillet will feed both of us, and we'll bulk up the meal with other things, or like veggies and rice or things are a little bit cheaper, so we stretch out our meat like a lot, which Zane probably hates. But I'm like, one chicken fillet is enough, and we'll make a big curry, and like it'll feed us. Like
it does feed us
enough. But back at home, we'd probably be like,
you go out and splurge a little bit.
Yeah, but you've got to be a little bit more careful.
Yeah,
fair enough too. What's your secret to finding the most breathtaking yet completely under the radar destinations?
Just going for a drive, I think, is a good one. If you can unhitch, leave the van somewhere and just go and take the unbeaten track and just like just go for a drive. That's the best way. Go if you see a little track that doesn't look like it's been driven for a while, maybe go have a look down there.
As long as there's no signs.
Well, that's it. If it's if the sign says don't go, but other than that, I feel like you
word
just
word of mouth as well. Like a lot of locals will sometimes share their spot, sometimes not. But and I also find like Google Satellite as well. Sometimes if we're in a spot, you can like zoom out and go, oh, that's a cool track. Mm. Where is that leading? And you see a little beach at the end or something. Mm. And I think we're so lucky now with social media where there's so many spots that I've saved from other people even heading up towards Broome and eventually we want to do the Gibbon thing, things like that. I've got so many things saved from Instagram, and we watch lots of YouTube of other travelers. So we'll jot down a few things in the notes and you've got to experience it for yourself. But I think that's always a really good motivation and inspiration. And it always has been, even before we left, we've always watched other travelers see what they're doing. And that's, inspired us to take that track as well.
Commit to it. Go and have a look.
And
have a look.
You always will be surprised at what you find. A lot of places, you can get to and there'll be no one there. It's awesome. You can just have it to yourself. You can find these nice little spots. And then, again, you try and keep them a bit secret though, don't you? So that
Have you got a favourite free camp or a camp like this that you've stumbled across?
Free camp-wise, we just came from...
Hey, it's Annette Jones from Big Lap Chats here. Just interrupting this episode to let you know, if you want to get the answer to this part of the question, then you'll need to join up to my membership where you can hear the extended version. The URL to go to do that is blccrew.allaroundoz.com.au. You can also find a link in the show notes over at allaroundoz.com.au/podcast. Otherwise, let's get back to our regular podcast. If you could give one piece of advice to someone planning their Lap of Australia, what would it be?
I think, I have so many different advices, but I feel like...
What's your top one?
I
think
one?
As Zane was saying before, to be flexible and to just be open to things that, to change and to things that might change your path, or try not to have too many plans because things do change quite quickly, and just to be really open to opportunities. I think sometimes we get an opportunity and because we have no future plans, we're like, oh, why not? Let's give it a go. Yeah. And it's nice to not have those plans set in stone sometimes. There are times you will need to have plans set in stone, like bookings, especially around certain times of year. It's really hard to find bookings along the Ningaloo and things like that. But just be really flexible and open. And the other thing, this is an extra one, sorry, you don't need to hit the road with, I think a lot of people go, I'm saving for a year of travel. I'm going to save this ginormous portion of money to hit the road. And for us, we hit the road with enough money to get us by the first few months without having to stop for work and things like that, depending if you want to stop for work. But I think you don't have to have that pressure of saving that ginormous amount. Yeah. You can hit the road and you can find work on the road if you want to.
There's work. If that's the way that you're going about traveling. If not, like, you don't have to save the most exorbitant amount of money, as Casey was saying. Like,
always have your can emergency.
Yeah, have a bit of an emergency slush fund, but you can do it super cheap. You can, a lot of free camps, like, all those little savings will get people by. But
and you don't need the best of everything as well. If you can do things like, we've seen people travel a whole entire lap in a swag with a gazebo and they've had the best time ever, and we probably would be the same. So you don't have to have everything to hit the road. You can just hit the road and still have the best time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we threw three in there.
Yeah, sorry.
Are you overachievers, you?
We talk a lot.
Oh, dear. What's the biggest myth about travelling around Australia that needs to be busted?
Biggest myth?
I think, that is a really good one.
That you'll...
That's a good one. Do you know what? I actually had this question. I had written this down. I got asked this question. Let me see.
What would it be? That's a real brain teaser, that one.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, gosh.
Is there any?
Maybe for us. I haven't really. Yeah.
Hang on, no, I did get asked this. I've got this. I literally have this jotted down somewhere. I'm not even joking.
How have you got that jotted down?
I know.
There you go.
Oh, okay. This is right.
Ooh, this is going to be good. Hey, it's Annette Jones from Big Lab Chats here. Just interrupting this episode to let you know, if you want to get the answer to this part of the question, then you'll need to join up to my membership where you can hear the extended version. The URL to go to do that is blccrew.allaroundoz.com.au. You can also find a link in the show notes over at allaroundoz.com.au/podcast. Otherwise, let's get back to our regular podcast.
We got there eventually.
I knew there was something. I was like, But yes, I think that's definitely, I guess, a bit of a myth.
I agree. How do you stay connected and productive on the road without sacrificing the adventure? So I know you guys stop and so you've got your social accounts as well.
Yeah.
So what's the balance for you? How do you manage that?
I think you've got to designate some time to do, like, usually I struggle with it sometimes because I sometimes put my head down, I get into work and then the day's gone and I'm like, oh gosh, like that day has completely gone. But yeah, just trying to set some boundaries and working out time frames and trying to share the load a bit here and there when we can. I recently was doing some social media for Ballara Station and I only just